From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Boy, am I excited about this hour of the program, because as you know, we are going to be joined by not only my great friend, but a man who has been celebrated and researched all around the world. Ripley's calls him the human stun gun. And you know him as Grandmaster Tom Cameron, joining us tonight from Chicago. Hi, Tom, and welcome back to Speaking of Strange.
Hello, my beloved student and friend. How are things going by you?
Well, you know, it's amazing. I'm glad that the Halloween season is already behind us, because it has just been a madhouse. Every single Halloween is just, it's the busiest time of year for me. But that's good news, I guess. There's a lot going on, and I've been telling all of our listeners tonight that you have a big announcement for everybody, but I haven't given them any clues as to what it is. So let's cut right to the chase. What have you been up to, Grandmaster Tom Cameron?
Well, I've been working with an organization called Sacred Mystical Journeys, and we have put together an amazing tour package which will allow a very limited number of people to travel with me to China to study with the Shaolin monks at the temple.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Now, have you ever been to China before?
I have never been outside of the country before, so this is
really
going to be a new, yes, this is going to be a new experience for me on a number of different levels. But the way that we've arranged it is we'll be spending a couple days in Beijing. Then we're going to Xi'an, which is where the Terracotta Warriors are in. Was the former capital of China thousands of years ago. From Xi'an, we'll be taking the bullet train, a mere 400 miles, which they tell me it takes 2 hours, into Luoyang, which is where the Shaolin Temple is. We'll be spending a full week there, spending 4 hours a day studying with the monks. And then from Luoyang, we'll be going to Shanghai, spending a couple days in Shanghai, and then coming home.
So now, how many of your students do you think are going to be allowed to do this? Because I know, as you said, it's very limited.
We're allowed to take, like you say, a very limited number of people. So we've got space probably for 50 people or so. I've got, you know, obviously some people that are already committed to coming with us, but we're opening it up to the general public, to anybody who's interested in studying the actual Shaolin style Kung Fu with the monks themselves. We'll also be doing some meditation practices and Qigong energy work and things of that nature. So we've got about 50 spaces. It's a very limited quantity.
And now you and I have been talking about this privately for some time, because the plan is I'm going to hopefully be a part of this trip. Is that right?
You are going to be one of the people coming along with us, because we're hoping that you'll be able to document a good portion of this, and who knows, maybe even turn it into something that other people will be able to share via video if they can't be there in person.
See, I'm thinking I'm going to be traveling around with a group of 50 martial artists, so I'm just going to go into bars and start stirring up crap to see if I can create some kind of massive live-action kung fu movie right there that I can sit back and videotape and put on YouTube for all my friends back home.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, we may be martial artists, but we're in China, so I don't think that's going to be a unique process.
Yeah, so we're going to be surrounded by ass kickers, basically. So,
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now you have been involved in martial arts the vast majority of your life. What are some things that you hope to learn when you go on this major expedition?
Well, I want to learn more about their about the way that they produce their energy and the way that they actually are able to isolate it in particular limbs on their body where they can concentrate the energy specifically in their hand or their stomach or their head, where I can learn to isolate and maintain it in that one particular area. There's also a skill that they develop. They actually have a competition for Qigong over in China, and one of the basic preliminary or qualifying trials, if you will, is to be able to throw a needle, like a darning needle, through a pane of glass.
Hmm.
And without shattering the glass, just to pierce it like a BB. So I'm thinking that that might be an interesting skill to pick up while I'm there.
Yes, I would say so. To add to your roster of demonstrations, it's just a matter of time before you accidentally kill somebody. You know that, right?
Yes, but I've already done that, but I brought them back.
Well, that's true, actually. They don't call you Death Touch Tom for nothing.
That is true. That is true. In fact, it was at one of your conferences. I almost killed one of my students and got him back. So
I remember that. So now, do your students? I mean, how long has I don't know who the one student is who's been with you the longest, but how long has that student been with you?
Oh, I've got a student by the name of Kelly Vanna, and he's been with me now 20-some years.
Wow!
I've been in the martial arts for 42.
And so, given all that you have learned over these years, how would you describe the significance of the mind-body-environment relationship?
Oh, it's absolutely paramount. Most Americans don't even have a rudimentary understanding as to the level of connection between the mind-body. I mean, one of the things that we do in order to demonstrate that connection is teach people how to break bricks and all the rest of it, which, you know, should be impossible. But as you know from your own experiences, being able to teach somebody in a relatively short period of time how to control their energy flow so that their body becomes literally impervious to injury when they're doing something like that, it makes it really a vital function. That way they're able to defend themselves, take blows from attackers, and deliver blows to attackers without having to worry about any kind of physical injury resulting from it. Plus, it also keeps you just generally in much better health. You're not anywhere near as prone to common diseases and ailments and all the rest of it as the general population is.
Are you going to be able to stick around this whole hour, Tom?
I am.
Okay, good, because I have a lot of things I want to ask you about, given your experience in this time of year. Samhain,
okay.
the kind of liminal period of transition where some of the dimensions and the spirits are merging. But now let me go ahead and ask you this. For anybody listening who might want to take advantage of this truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to possibly visit China with you and me, how do they find out about this trip?
Well, I believe you're going to have a link up on your website.
Yep.
I've got one on my website, which is mysticwarriortraining.org. There's a link to it, or they can just go straight to sacredmysticaljourneys.com, and I don't even think that they've got a direct link to the page, because it's, as I said, it's kind of a limited opportunity, so they don't want to open it up to the public on a wide scale. They want it to give the opportunity to people who have specific interest in this and not just kind of the curious dabbler. So they can, like I said, they can either get to it through your website or through mine.
Okay. So now, one of the most controversial things that you do is demonstrations in which you are able to knock people down without any physical contact. It's like something out of Star Wars. What is going through your mind when you are preparing to deliver this blow of energy?
Well, when I'm going through that, primarily it's getting the rhythm of the breathing is really really vital. You have to get a particular rhythm of breathing going. One of the visualizations that we use is we concentrate on visualizing our arms being like fire hoses, so that as we push our arms out, we see streams of energy or water projected towards the opponent, and we're going to specific energy points on the opponent in order to create these types of effects. And the other thing that that's important to remember is the fact that it doesn't work. The no touch doesn't work on everybody. The more aggressive and the bigger physically that the person is, the more effective it is. It doesn't work on little kids. It doesn't work on frail women. It doesn't work on slightly built men. It's because it's intended to be a response to an attack. So one of the other things that we're trying to go through in our head is we're trying to work up not a sense of fear, that would be wrong, but more a sense of threat, you know, where you feel that there is a potential threat there. If I've, you know, you and I have been together, you're a pretty decent sized guy. I'm certainly no munchkin. So the person has to be physically more imposing in order to get me into the right frame of mind and be able to project the energy. Just like water, the energy has a tendency of going from the smaller to the larger. And it's much more difficult to get the energy to flow from the larger to the smaller.
Okay, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, one thing that all of you listening should realize is that all these years, the work that Tom Cameron has done has been primarily expressed through martial arts, but ultimately he is a guy who is very sensitive to energy fields in general, and we're going to ask him his opinion on some of the sort of issues that come up this time of year related to spirituality and our connection to other realms. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, as well as a link to this massive expedition that Grandmaster Tom Cameron has put together. Also, I'm looking at the website page. It's sacredmysticaljourneys.com/China-tour, sacredmysticaljourneys.com/China-tour. And it says China Tour with Martial Arts Grandmaster Tom Cameron, June 23rd through July 10th, 2015. Travel China and study martial arts at the Shaolin Temple with Tom Cameron, 7th degree black belt and founder of the Mystic Warrior Martial Arts. So the flight departs Chicago nonstop, 3:15 p.m. to Beijing. And there is just a fantastic itinerary listed here, which combines some of the things that everybody just has to do when you go to China, like see the Great Wall or go see the Terracotta Soldiers, as well as some of these very specialized things that most people never get to do, like train, of course, with the Shaolin monks, and also get to see some spectacular shows in the evening, dinner theater, that kind of thing, with ancient Chinese traditions. So, Tom, how much does this entire package cost?
The tour with the training is $5,300, and that includes everything. That includes four different airfares. That includes the bullet train. I think like 95% of your meals are covered also, as well as all of the prices for the shows and everything else. One of the other things that they don't even have on the website that I need to get them to put up is that what's going to happen is we'll be training when we're at Shaolin. We'll be training for 4 hours in the morning with the monks, have lunch, and then we'll actually be meeting back at the hotel. And I'll be doing training with the students, explaining what the actual practical applications of what the monks are teaching in terms of self-defense, putting my own spin on it, if you will. So that'll be included in it. Also, as soon as they sign up, they will start getting newsletters and videos and stuff to get them ready to be able to take advantage as best as they can of the monks' training, because some of the training that I've seen these monks do is pretty intense. And I know I've already started doing a training regime and starting to slim down. I've already dropped like 30-some pounds because I've known for, a little while that it was coming. So it's like, okay, this is talk about motivation.
Yeah.
So they'll be getting packages from me in the mail on a regular basis of the training that I recommend and the exercises, so that they can enjoy the trip more fully and we can all land on the same page when we get together and leave from Chicago.
Well, I want to make sure that everybody listening understands something. If ever in your entire life you think you might want to go to China, well, this is the primo opportunity. It's one thing to go to Disney World. It's another thing to go there with Walt Disney. We're talking about going to China with a martial arts grandmaster and with me there with all my gadgets and gizmos and my paranormal knowledge. That is what is really going to make this extremely special, the company that you're going to be in. And it says right here, I'm just reading off the website, just so you know, this tour package includes China air and land package. Let's see here. We have the Shaolin training. There are different options here. 7 days of martial arts, a certificate. All hotel accommodations, which is 16 nights, 15 buffet breakfast daily, 15 lunches at local Chinese restaurants with one soft drink, 15 dinners at local Chinese restaurants with one soft drink. The economy class air, second class train, various sightseeing with a private coach, driver, and English-speaking local guide, touring and transfers by deluxe air-conditioned motor coach. I mean, this is an incredibly comprehensive package. So
there's also a tour on the river. When we touched down in Shanghai, there's a nighttime tour of all the incredible architecture that they've got now in Shanghai. Shanghai now, for those who don't know, is one of the most urban and modern cities in the world. It has four of the top 10 tallest buildings in the world in Shanghai currently.
Wow!
So it's if you just look up photos on Google of what Shanghai looks like at night, the entire city is lit up like neon. The entire city is like the Las Vegas Strip. It's just astonishing to look at.
So we're all going to go to the Forbidden City. You're going to go to the Summer Palace, the Emperor's Magnificent Garden Retreat. I mean, it just goes on and on. Even a ceramics factory is going to be in there. A silk factory. I mean, you know, talk about a slice of the culture. And you should also, you know, keep in mind here that when we go and do this, if you're here in the U.S., you can truly call yourself a world traveler after you've been to China and come back.
So. Well, and especially with this, especially with the package that they put together for us, I mean, it really is hitting four entirely different regions in China, and as you said, an enormous range of the tourist sites that are available. That's why there is a tour package that's available that does not include Shaolin. If you're not a martial artist and you don't want to practice with the monks, although that's, for me, that's kind of cutting the heart out of the tour, they do have a slightly discounted rate for that. I think it's just under $5,000 for that one. And they also have discounts if you're paying by check or money order as opposed to paying by credit card. So there are a couple different options of ways to go with that. But like I said, for me, the thing that's so exciting is the idea that not only do I get to work with the monks and get all of this information directly from them, that I'll be able to help the people that are on the tour get a better understanding directly as to what it is that the monks are teaching and how they can immediately turn around and use it for self-defense or use it, just to improve their health, improve their overall energy content.
So again, we're going to have a link for you up there at speakingofstrange.com. Now, considering the time of year, everybody knows what Halloween is, but a lot of people still don't know what Samhain is. And Samhain is from sunset October 31st to sunset on the 1st of November. It's a Gaelic festival marking the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter or the dark half of the year. And interestingly enough, during this period of time, which was often celebrated around what is currently Ireland, Scotland, Britain, that part of Europe in particular, even though it was really in various forms all throughout Europe, the people who celebrated it believed that it was what we call a liminal time, and that's spelled L-I-M-I-N-A-L. I'm very fascinated by this concept because liminal means that it is a transitory or transitional time where you're neither quite here nor there, and that is why that when things enter this sort of gray period, we are able to access for a limited period these other spirits of the dead or various fairies. And people would originally dress up in their Halloween costumes and that kind of thing because they wanted to blend in with the dark spirits so they wouldn't be attacked. And leaving treats out there was also a part of this. So We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk with Tom Cameron some about whether or not he feels that there are certain times of year when we have greater access to the spirit realms. And furthermore, as a teacher in his position, who is training people to become more sensitive and able to better control their own bioenergy fields, does he also see this liminal period when one of his students is sort of going from their old mindset and being initiated into a new mindset? Again, that's what the liminal is all about. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, family business of Miss Shelley Wright, and you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. This is Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and talking right now with Grandmaster Tom Cameron. And before the break, I mentioned that, well, today is November the 1st, and this is actually what is known by many as All Saints Day. Because, you see, Samhain was a pre-Christian celebration. It goes far, far back. Nobody's certain how many thousands of years this goes back. But the Roman Catholic Church, when they started to sort of dominate the known world, they realized that they weren't going to be able to sort of convert all of these pagans to or away from their traditions that had been ingrained for so long. And so instead, they tried to sort of take advantage of their mindset and shift it into a more Christian way of thinking. And so November 1st, was designated by the Roman Catholic Church as All Saints Day, and therefore it was a Hallowed Day. And so the evening before that was the Hallowed Evening, or Halloween. That's where that phrase comes from. And as a side note, November 2nd is called All Souls Day. So November 1st is primarily for honoring the saints, and everybody gets honored on November 2nd. So that's why we have this sort of shift from Samhain into what we now know as Halloween. And it's one of those very, very odd examples of how that the Catholic Church and the pagans kind of culturally compromised a little bit because everybody agreed there was something very special and, again, liminal about this period of time. But this idea that there are transitional periods when the two different forces from separate energy realms are more easily able to interact is something you also see in virtually every ritual in the world, especially exemplified by the rituals of the old mystery schools. And Grandmaster Tom Cameron, he has trained many, many students for many years on how to not only physically defend themselves, but also to become more aware of the energy world around us all the time. And most of us are so distracted, we're just not that perceptive. And so I'm sure there is a period when somebody becomes a student, Tom, and then you sort of initiate them into this new way of looking at the world, and suddenly you see them shift from one way of thinking to another form, and there's that period in between when they're just sort of moving from one arena to the next that's reminiscent of what happens at, say, the time of Samhain. How would you describe this complex and often sort of vague area where people are going through that transition on a personal level?
Well, a lot of it has to do with how young they are when they become exposed to it. The younger students that I have far less of an issue making that type of transition than the older students are. I mean, it's far more difficult for somebody who's in their 30s to begin to understand how much of the world they've missed or how much of the world has been unnoticed by them than it is for a kid. I mean, for a kid, everything is new to them in the world. So if you introduce something new to them, it's just one more thing, you know, where you have a 30-year-old who thinks they've got the world by the tail, and all of a sudden you go, that's not the way this world works, Scooter. Let me explain something to you. It's much more disrupting. But once they begin to be able to manipulate the energy and begin to become more sensitive to it, where they actually can sense that there's more to it for themselves rather than just being told, where they actually start having experiential types of occurrences, then all of a sudden it's like, wow, why didn't I know this before? How come this wasn't something that I was aware of before? And because you're trained not to. You know, the sad part of it is that much of the training that I do is just as much untraining as it is training, you know, teaching people how to move the barriers that they believe in back and away from them than it is teaching them what their new abilities are. It's more trying to remove the barriers from the abilities that they always did have. One thing I need to tell you about, particularly since we are in this time of year, and yes, I do have a tendency of being far more sensitive. I was traveling actually a week ago, this past Saturday, out by one of your favorite places, Bachelor's Grove.
Yeah.
And as I passed by, I saw the farmhouse. That was the first time I'd ever had that happen, but I actually saw the farmhouse.
Wow. So now, for those who aren't aware of that story, there is no farmhouse there anymore, but people still see the ghost of the house, right?
Right, and there never has been. There is no record of a farmhouse ever having been on that property. But everybody that has witnessed it and has drawn pictures of it has drawn exactly the same house.
All right, and your voice got a little bit quiet there at the end. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So now, what did it look like, Tom?
It's a wooden structure. It has a broad front porch. It sits right down on the ground. There's maybe two steps up to the porch. It has two dormers, which you would assume were living spaces or, you know, bedrooms or something of that nature. Has, you know, the typical old stick or wooden front porch with the railing and such. Just, you know, a very nondescript, if you will, type of farmhouse from around 1900 or so. And like I said, I was just driving by. I wasn't even actually going to the cemetery. I was just driving by, And as I was passing by the pond that's there, I looked over at the pond, and sure enough, right behind the pond was the house. And I went, oh, my God, because I know it isn't there. I know there is no structure there.
So now for people who are not familiar, again, with who you are, I mean, you have been on national, international TV, Stanley Superhumans, Steve Harvey
right.
Show, Ripley's Believe It or Not, because you are an expert in being able to sense and even manipulate human energy. But let me ask you this.
Right.
If we were to blindfold you, and a person walked up next to you, how would you compare your feeling of that living person's energy to what you sense when you go into a haunted location?
In a haunted, when a living person walks up to you, it's much more specific, much more defined. That's a much better word. The energy field is much more clearly defined than it is when I go into haunted houses or sick areas or whatever. When you go into a sick area, it's much more cloud-like, where you don't have any one specific area or one glob, if you will, and then there's nothing over here. There is certainly a difference in intensity where you can find the heart of the haunting, but it's not as clearly defined as it is with a person. I mean, with a person, you have very clear boundaries or outlines that you'll sense, where when you walk into a haunted place, you get the entire sense of it from the entire place with varying intensities. It's kind of like the difference between having pushing two magnets together that, you know, you have the same pole and you're getting the resistance, as opposed to being in a lightning storm where you're getting the overall sense of charge.
And now we're coming up on a break here in about a minute. Do you also see auras and have a visual sense of the biofield, or do you simply just feel it in your own field?
No, I actually see the auras and see the dips, and I'm not real clear on the color. That takes me a little bit of time to focus in on, but I absolutely see. Very much like the heat over a radiator is the sense that I get, where I can see the patterning of the aura. It takes me a bit of focusing to be actually able to be pulling the colors and such.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because I can see it as well. So that's a good description. We're going to take our break. When we come back, I want to ask Tom, out of all the people that he has encountered in his life, has he ever maybe passed a person on the street or had a waiter at a restaurant and instantly felt, this person is pure evil? There's something really dark here. I don't like it. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and it's called Speaking of Strange. How would you like to go to China for 2 weeks and train with the Shaolin monks, with not just any grandmaster of martial arts, but Death Touch Tom, the human stun gun, a man who has been featured in media all around the world because of his extraordinary abilities. So extraordinary, he was one of the people featured on Stan Lee's Superhumans on the History Channel. And Sam just asked if you got to meet Stan Lee. I don't think you did, Tom, did you? Because I didn't get to, and we were both on the same set.
No, we never got a chance to meet him. We only met Daniel, the host of the show.
Yeah, I actually was there with Tom for this segment, along with Dean Warsing and Joe Southards, measuring Tom and his students through various demonstrations. And, yeah, if you go to joshuapwarren.com and click the film section, I believe there are some clips somewhere there of that particular episode of Stanley's Superhumans. So this is Speaking of Strange. We are in the final minutes of hour number two. And so now, Tom, before the break, I brought up this, you know, possible scenario in which a guy like you who not only meets a lot of people, but is sensitive to their energy, may from time to time run into a person who just feels a little bit different. Have you ever thought, now obviously good and evil are subjective terms, and we hate to oversimplify things, but have you ever felt that you have just brushed with a person who just didn't feel right to you?
Oh, yeah. You know, probably as well as anybody in my life knows how peculiar my life is. And considering that I've known on a personal level two mass murderers, I didn't get those senses from those people. But I have met people that when I would shake their hand, it was just like, oh, I don't ever want to be with this person again. More so, though, I've gotten that sense from places where, not so much from people, but from places. There was a house for sale that my wife and I were looking at, and I drove onto the property. And
hey, be sure to put your phone right up to your mouth. It's getting a little quiet again there.
I'm sorry. Is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. My wife and I drove onto the property, and I got about halfway up the driveway and went, oh, hell no. there was just something that was so wrong about this place. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, and this might be a name that you're familiar with also, I was driving and got turned around a little bit, so I drove into this driveway into what was a facility I wasn't familiar with. I was in an area that I wasn't real familiar with. I drove onto the property just to turn around and immediately got I was getting upset stomach and headachy and all the rest of it. Turned out I was on the driveway of the Mantino Mental Institution.
Hmm.
It closed down years ago and now is reported to be haunted. So it's like, okay, let me get out of here. I don't want anything coming home with me.
You know? Yeah.
But I've even had that with students where, and that's one of the things that helps me cue into who I should and who I shouldn't train and to what level. I mean, there are students that have come into the school and like, okay, well, this one isn't going to get a whole lot of nasty technique because this is a guy that's going to abuse it. And that's real easy to tell. You can definitely pick up that vibe real fast.
Yeah, I bet. Well, the clock has got us here, Tom, but, you know, it's always such a thrill to have you on the program, and I am so, so excited about this China expedition. I mean, truly, I've done a lot of interesting things in my life, and it takes a lot to make me feel like a kid on Christmas morning, but this is one of those things that, I mean, wow, I'm so happy that you came up with this brilliant idea, and I want everybody to be sure to go to speakingofstrange.com to find a link to info, or you can go right to sacredmysticaljourneys.com/China-tour. Tom, you're a fascinating guy, and we could just talk forever and ever. So we'll definitely have you back on over the next few months to talk about the trip and how things are coming along. And thanks for being on the program tonight, my friend.
Great. I'm really looking forward to it, and you know we'll find out whether we have enough topics to talk about, because we'll have 17 days worth of chatting.
Sounds great. All right, everybody, there you have it, Grandmaster Tom Cameron, and he is, well, a superhuman. I can tell you from my own personal experiences, I've been around him with equipment measuring things as clinically and as scientifically and as skeptically as possible, and he produces results that I just cannot explain. One of my favorites was an experiment we did when he performed a knockout on my friend Joe Southards, and we took a Kirlian photograph at the moment that the knockout was delivered, and you can see the corona of light around Joe's finger, but you can see a separate corona of light that's just outside of it, as if you can literally see that Tom knocked his soul out of his body just a little bit. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Thank you much, Tom. Appreciate you.
You are welcome, kind sir. Did it sound okay?
Yeah, it sounded great, man.
Good.
Thank you much. And, you know, if Josh, if you can convince Mr. P. Warren to subsidize my inclusion on this trip, I would love to go. I got a passport. It's brand new. Has no stamps in it because it's lame. My other one was full. This one's ready to go. Just tell Mr. TV show over here to put it on somebody's bill. I don't know.
Well, hey, you know, that's you've got a closer relationship than I do with him, so
unfortunately,
that's more in your. So, what did he have any comment about having difficulty hooking up again?
Hooking up
with radio, and you know, getting the all the problems, technical problems you were having with it again.
No, these are all, they're just minor. These things happen. Like, you know, I'm sitting behind a board that looks like NASA space control, you know, and it's like, it's all digital. Back in the day, they were all analog, all digital. You can just, I just had to reboot the entire board, reboot the server that goes into it. And I mean, that seemed to fix it, but things can just go wrong for no reason. And some nights they tend to go wrong more than others, but it was just something stupid. It could just be as simple as something stuck in the hold button on the phone, but like I could get you on there, I just couldn't get it to hold, you know.
Well, we got it done one way or another, so
that's how we do it. Get it done.
You take care.
You too, sir. Have a good one.
You have a great night. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.